This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And now the main course, the part of the show where we talk about food.
That's right. Enrico, you've heard the phrase nose-to-tail dining.
Of course. It's kind of the idea of eating every part of the animal and not just certain very popular cuts of it.
Correct. And right. It's usually applied to pigs or cows. Mm-hmm. But increasingly, restaurants are serving the less popular parts of fish.
The hook, I would imagine.
I don't know if that's a part of a fish.
You just fry it up. It's
nope.
Tasty.
Fish collars have been showing up on more and more menus around the country.
Uh-huh.
And to find out why, I met up with Adam Gerringer Dunn. He and his partner, Vinnie Milburn, own Greenpoint Fish and Lobster. That's a seafood market and restaurant that sells whole fish to restaurants around Manhattan. I met Adam at his shop, and first up, I asked him to tell me what exactly a fish collar is.
Fish collars are a cut of the fish just behind the head, right where the neck is before you start getting into the fillet. It's kind of, there's like a little fin on the side there.
Are there any other names for that cut?
Fish clavicle. I don't know.
Fish clavicles don't have the same ring to it.
So I'm sure there's a technical name for it, but in the culinary sense of it, we call it a collar.
Part of the reason I'm here is because this cut is emerging on menus, it seems, more than it has been in the past. Am I just seeing things? Or
I don't know. Sometimes I think we might be responsible for that. We have a wholesale business, and we sell a lot of whole fish, and I think we're selling whole fish to restaurants, and they're looking for ways to use every piece of the fish, and so they're using the collars, because ordinarily a lot of restaurants will order fish in fillets already, and you don't get any of this bone, you don't get any of the head, the collars. When you get the whole fish, you're going to look to use, you're going to make stock using the frames or the bones. You can use the collars as its own dish on a menu. You can roast the head and serve the head or serve the cheeks. And so restaurants, you know, it's competitive in New York. It's a really, really difficult business. And people are looking to, you know, offset food costs everywhere they can. And collars are a really great place to do that.
I read something you said about how many Americans, when they approach fish, they want just white squares.
I say that a lot. I think people thought of fish as a white square of protein on a plate. No bones, no skin, no head. And, you know, people, they freak out when they see a head or the eyes and all that.
Even bones, they wouldn't unfish the fish.
Exactly. People will come to us in the market and say, does that fish have any bones? I'm like, well, they all have bones. I'll take them out for you, but they have bones. Even eels have bones, you know. Yeah. I think people are reconnecting with where they're food comes from.
We've talked to people at the Monterey Bay and other spots that kind of monitor fish populations, and unfortunately the decline of them in many cases. Is this also maybe a response to that, kind of using all of the protein that comes with these fish we pull from the sea?
100%. I think minimizing waste is a huge part of sustainability.
So previous to this, were fish collars thrown away, or like what happened to them?
So previously, fish collars were discarded along with the head and the skeleton. A wholesale fishmonger would take the fillet off and they would trim that, make that nice and neat, and they'd sell that to a restaurant. The yield on a fish collar is pretty minimal. There's a lot of bone, there's some fins, cartilage, things like that. So the value in a traditional sense isn't there as opposed to a fillet. So that was all getting tossed. I mean, I first came across the idea of fish collars eating at Japanese restaurants. You'd see hamachi kama or, you know, things like that on a menu as its own dish, a standalone dish. And, you know, you use chopsticks and you pick at these little chunks, maybe some grated daikon and some soy and stuff like that. And the collar itself is gorgeous, I think. But the meat that comes off is just little nibbles. You know, you get little nuggets of meat and flesh here and there, and you have to work for it.
Well, like crab legs or something. Yeah. There's a lot of work, but once you get those sweet pieces of meat, it's really rewarding.
Yeah, the flavor on it is amazing. And the Japanese knew what they were doing, and they know there's incredible flavor in that cut. And it's not just dollars and cents in terms of, hey, there's not enough meat on here to put on a plate. There's value in the flavor. It doesn't have to be a huge quantity of meat, but there's value there.
I've read them described as like the ribs of the sea.
Yeah, I kind of think of them as like spare ribs. You kind of get messy with it. You can hold it up and you can nibble on it or dig through it. You're looking, you know, you're working through pieces of cartilage and sinew and stuff, and there's those really good nuggets of juicy meat in there. But also kind of like spare ribs, because it's on the bone, you get incredible flavor into that flesh. It's also because of the connective tissue, it's a bit fattier and it holds up a lot better to high heat cooking, so broiling, things like that. So you can get the skin really crispy and a little bit charred, but the flesh itself is still going to stay super moist and juicy.
Okay, so we're about to eat this. What kind of fish is this?
Sockeye salmon. So this is the entire collar. Sometimes you'll get collars. If it's a bigger fish, we'll split it in half. If it's a smaller fish, we'll keep it connected where the spine meets the two sides. There are some bones in there, so you just want to work your way around it. But you just find these little morsels of delicious.
Mm. Yeah.
This is almost like dark meat. It's a little bit stronger in flavor.
Yeah.
And a little bit darker in color, too. But, oops, see, the little comes out of the, see, it's like on the shell there.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not, it's fattier, right? Just like dark meat on a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Delicious.
It's a little bit stronger in flavor, but.
This isn't going to feed a family, though.
You get a couple of these, snack on them, or it's a little starter. Everyone picks at it.
Yeah.
Kind of whet the appetite a little bit.
That is sweet. And what is this? There's like a tamari.
Yeah. What's, so we do, typically, we just throw a little bit of lemon juice, tamari, and oil on it.
This is delicious. What kind of interesting cuts of fish do you think we're going to be seeing more of? Or would you like to see more of as someone who loves fish?
I'm looking forward to seeing more offcuts, fish offcuts, all over menus.
And by offcuts, you mean just not the classic fillets?
Exactly. I'm excited. Whenever I see a restaurant do like a roasted fish head, like a giant striped bass or even like a tuna, an albacore tuna or something, it's so dramatic and so, to me, it's so cool and really interesting.
Like, you mean fish heads, roly-poly fish heads?
Exactly.
Adam Gerringer Dunn, co-owner of Greenpoint Fish and Lobster, a fish shop and restaurant a mere 2 blocks from my home, by the way.
Nice.
So, Rico, I basically conducted that interview in my bathrobe and slippers.
Yeah, very Black professional. Thing. He seemed to take that in stride,
well,
which was nice of him.
My bathrobe has a tuxedo painted on it.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.